San Francisco, 1945. We had lived through a major war. I was 17 years old, with a son of 2 months, and I needed a job. The Creole Cafe had a cardboard sign in the window that said, "Cook wanted, $75 a week."
Can you cook Creole?
Yes, of course. That's all I know how to cook.
The lie was as soft as butter. Desperation to find help must have blinded the proprietress, Mrs. Dupree, to my age.
Can you start Monday? You know it's 6 days a week. We're closed on a Sunday.
That's fine with me. I like to go to church on Sunday.
It's awful to think that the devil gave me that lie. But it came unexpectedly and worked like dollar bills.
I know we're going to get along. You a good Christian. I like that. Yes, ma'am, I sure do. What's your name?
Rita. Rita Johnson.
Marguerite was too solemn, and Maya too rich-sounding.
Oh, that's a right nice name. I'll call you Reed, okay?
Fine by me.
You get here at 5, Monday.
5?
Uh-huh.
In the morning?
Uh-huh.
All right, I'll be here at 5 Monday morning.
I had a job, $75 a week. So I was Reed. Reed petite and gone, I'll Reed. Now all I had to do was learn to cook. Finally, I had the authority I had always longed for. Mrs. Dupree chose the menu, but I, Rita the chef, decided how much garlic went into the baked short ribs a la Creole or how many bay leaves would flavor steamed Shreveport tripe. I was content. Then one day...
Afternoon, folks.
God's prettiest man became a customer at my restaurant.
How y'all doing?
It was like the second coming of Christ. Curly, that was his name, though whoever named him, I thought, lacked imagination, ate daintily and carefully. He came often, and he always came alone.
Reed, come here. I won't bite.
If he was beautiful from a distance, up close, he was perfection.
Yes?
How long you been known to cook like that?
All my life.
You married?
No.
You be careful. Somebody gonna come here kidnap you.
Why didn't he? I would have liked nothing better.
What time you get off?
1 o'clock.
You want me to take you home?
I usually spend time with my baby.
You got a baby? Somebody must have given you a doll baby for Christmas. How old are you?
19.
19? Going on 17. Okay. I'll take you to see your baby. Or where's the baby daddy?
I don't know.
He wouldn't marry you, huh? He's a low-down bastard in my book, and he needs his ass kicked.
I began to love him at that moment. Out of my head went the memory that I had willfully, aggressively even initiated my one sexual tryst with my baby's father.
Sure is a fine baby. Looks just like you.
Standing in the babysitter's room, he's looking at my baby, and I'm looking at him.
Do you think so?
I left Clyde with the babysitter. In Curly's car, it never occurred to me to put up resistance when he said we were going to his hotel.
May I have a drink?
No, you're too young. Come here, Reed. Oh, you're nearly about as tall as me. I like tall girls.
I was trembling. My body went its own way as he held my face in his large, dark hands.
I know you're scared. That's natural. You're young. But we're gonna have a party. Just think of it like that.
My previous brushes with sex had been just that. Brushes. One violent and one indifferent. Now I found myself in the arms of a tender man. And afterwards, I lay crying.
You happy?
I was so happy. The next day, I went to a jeweler's and bought him an onyx ring with a diamond chip. I charged it to my stepfather's account. Love was what I had been waiting for. I began to mature. I shopped for myself carefully for the first time. Unfortunately, my taste was as new as my interest. Once when Curly took me out to dinner, I wore a yellow crepe dress, a wide unflattering hat with a veil, and a yellow rosebud corsage on my bosom.
Well, you certainly been shopping.
Do you like?
It's very nice.
Mm. Oh, ow.
You okay?
It's just the pin in my corsage.
You could take it off.
No, it's fine.
We took my son for long walks through parks. When people complimented us on our child, he played the proud papa and accepted.
I want me a boy like that. Just like that.
I never wanted it to end. I bought more things for him. A watch.
Reed, there's no need. I already got one, honey.
A sports coat.
It's too tight, Reed. I'm sorry.
I didn't want to hear his protestations. I wasn't buying things. I was buying time. Curly had said, at the beginning of our affair, that he had a girl who worked in a San Diego shipyard, and her job would be up soon. Then they'd get married. I hastily stored the information in that inaccessible region of the mind where I put pain and the like, and for a while, it didn't bother me.
Where are we going? This isn't the way to your hotel.
I'm taking you to your house.
Why?
Curly found a parking space a half block away. The streetlights were just coming on, and a soft fog dimmed the world.
Give me a kiss.
He reached in the back seat and took out two large boxes and handed them to me.
These things are for you and the baby. Reed, my girlfriend is here, and I'll be checking out of the hotel tonight. You're going to make some man a wonderful wife. I mean it.
Curly,
I hate to say goodbye, but I gotta. Reed, don't go.
Because he had not lied, I was forbidden anger. Because he had patiently and tenderly taught me to love, I could not hate to ease the pain. I had to bear it. The loss of young first love is so painful that it borders on the ludicrous. I longed and pined, sighed, yearned, and cried. I began to lose weight. By 18, I managed to look run down, if not actually run over.
What the hell happened to you, Ma? Have you been sick?
No, I'm okay.
My brother Bailey again was my savior, a role he fulfilled most of my early years. He had returned after some months on an ammunition ship.
Ma, it's me. Come on, tell.
So I told him. I told Bailey of my great love affair, of the pain of discovery of pain.
It's not just Curly leaving Bail. I met some ex-school buddies when I was out with the baby. They wanted to look at him. How did you do it, Marguerite? Looks like a crow made a dove. They laughed at me. They thought him so pretty, so different to me. I don't fit in here. I feel more isolated here than when we were living with Mama in Arkansas.
Leave.
What?
I think it's time for you to leave San Francisco. You could try Los Angeles or San Diego.
But I don't know where I'd live or get a job. And I can't tear Clyde away. He's used to the woman who looks after
She's
him.
She's not his mother.
I've got a good job here.
But surely you don't mean to make cooking Creole food your life's work.
I have a nice room here. Don't you think it's nice?
Now, Ma, if you're happy being miserable, enjoy it. But don't ask me to feel sorry for you. Just get all down in it and waddle around. Take your time to savor all its subtleties. But don't come to me expecting sympathy.
He knew me too well. I was loving the role of jilted lover.
If you want to stay around here looking like death, eating a soda cracker, that's your business. There are some rights no one has the right to take from you. That's one. Now, what you want to do?
I don't know. Los Angeles, maybe.
Good. I got $200 for you when my ship gets paid off. Tell your boss you'd be leaving in a week.
My mother heard my plans without surprise. You're a woman. You can make up your own mind. She hadn't the slightest idea that not only was I not a woman, but what passed for my mind was animal instinct. Be the best at anything you get into, she would always say. It was her version of Polonius's speech to Laertes. With that wisdom in my pouch, I was to go out and buy my future. We had family in Los Angeles, too, so Clyde and I could stay with them at first. At the Los Angeles Union Railway Terminal, it was easy to distinguish San Franciscans detraining. They always, but always, wore gloves. Short, white, snappy ones. And I had dressed for the trip.
Yes, we're here now, darling.
A black crepe number. Dressy enough for a wedding reception. But during the 10-hour trip, Clyde managed to mash and bungle and crease my dress into a new cemetery. Yet despite the creases and my short white gloves having lost their crispness and the cosmetic case full to reeking with dirty diapers, I left the train a picture of controlled dignity.
Come on, sweetie. You're just gonna phone Uncle Charlie. Uncle Charlie? It's Marguerite.
Really? Where are you?
We're at the train station.
We?
My son, Clyde, and I.
Get a taxi and come out here. I'll pay the cab fare.
His voice didn't ooze happiness at hearing from me. But then my mother's family, the Baxters, were not known to show any emotions, except violent ones. The clan had met to check out my new addition to the family.
Hey, Reedy, come on inside. Everybody is waiting to see the boy.
The wives and husbands of my blood relatives handed my son around as if they were thinking of adding him to the collection.
It's all right now, little man. They're just taking a look.
They removed his booties and pulled his toes.
Oh, yeah. Uh-huh.
Hi, Archie. Got a round head, huh?
Yeah, sure does.
Every Baxter had a round head. This feature was an indication of strength of bloodline.
Well, Reedy, you're a woman now, a mother and all that. You'll have two things to think about from now on. You'll have to get a job.
I've been working as a cook.
And learn to save money.
One of my aunts wrapped my son carefully in his blanket and handed him back to me.
What time is your train? I'll drive you back to the station.
My brain reeled. Had I given the impression that I was going on?
In a few hours, I should be getting back.
Well, bye-bye, Reedy. You take care.
We were all shaking hands. Their relief was palpable.
Good to see you all.
Uh-huh. All right.
I was, after all, a Baxter and playing the game. Being independent, expecting nothing, and if asked, not giving a crippled crab for a crutch.
You need some money, Reedy?
No, thanks. I've got money.
On the silver screen, they would have vied for me. The winner would have set me up in a cute little cottage with frangipani and roses growing in the front yard. But all I needed now was to get away from the airless house. I would become a hermit. I would seal myself off from the world, just my son and I. I had written a juicy melodrama in which I was to be the star, pathetic, poignant, isolated. It just so happened that life took my script away and upstaged me.